Morning.
Good morning.
It's a beautiful day the Lord has made. Let us be rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Jeff, you can lower your mask up there.
Oh. See, I forget it half the time, and then when I need it off, I forget to take it off. That's good. Now my glasses won't fog up. I just want to apologize ahead of time if I err, because it's been months since I've been opening layperson, so bear with me. We just want to welcome those of our members and our guests today, and make yourself feel at home. This is God's house, and we are all God's children. So let's just get in the frame of mind to give Him praise and glory.
Amen.
I have welcome and announcements before you do your prelude, right, Maxine?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any announcements? Bob?
I have a communication here, and it's from Joe Harris down on Capstein Road, who has training at Eddie's Country Bakery. Every year they've been so faithful in sending out a donation to our church, and again we got it this year. And so they send a Christmas greeting, a picture of the grandchildren, and also a fine check of $1,000, which they donated to our church. So.
That's wonderful. Praise
thank
God.
Thank you. Your letter has been sent back to them, and so we just ask God to lift them up truly in their labors of love and their efforts of work. And we just thank Him so much for being so kind to us each and every year. I'll pass it over to Carol.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Any other announcements? There's a card in the back. Thinking of you card, missing you card, whatever, on your way out. There's a couple ink pens back there, and there's also hand sanitizer after you use the pen if you want to sanitize. I don't think we're going to pass too many germs through our hands today, but anyway, it's back there. But the card is for Pastor Tracy. Just write your sign your name or give a little note of encouragement telling him that he is coming back. No doubt about it, but no, just let him know that you're thinking of him and that you miss him. I think we all enjoy getting cards in the mail. And he, you know, I think that's a good way to extend and as keep him in your prayers too, as he rejuvenates his spirit in the Lord. There's a kettle back there for a Super Bowl for the soup that we're going to collect. You have the month of January. I want to turn it in the first part of February to the Thurmont Food Bank. So please remember to bring your cans of soup. As usual, remember to check your cans. They will not accept dents in the cans, and the dates have to not—they have to be good dates, not expired dates. Okay? So please keep that in mind. And talking about the Super Bowl, I mean the Thurmont Food Bank. I have a communication here from the Thurmont Food Bank. It says, "Dear friends of the Thurmont Food Bank, the Thurmont Ministerium thanks you for your kind and generous donation to the Thurmont Food Bank of $200 on November 25th. We have been blessed by this gift and the gifts of so many others. We are deeply grateful to live in a loving and compassionate community that reaches out to others. Thank you for helping us be a blessing to seniors and families with children in need within our community. With your gracious help, we are able to serve an average of 315 households with approximately 1,000 individuals each month. What a great service you help to provide in our very local community. May God bless you, Katie Mossberg." And I didn't get a communication from the food collection that we did the month of December. And we may not, because I was overwhelmed at work and did not get to count the cans and put a value on it, and I didn't sign it in. I just handed it off and told them what church it was from. So we may not get a communication for that, but please know that I did drop it off. Okay. Any other announcements? Oh. Well, I'll announce him in a minute.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'll announce him when I ring. Hit the drum. We get the drum roll. Okay. Maxine, will you do the call to worship? Call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 29, verses 1 through 2. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. May we just bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Oh, Father, we just thank you for the many blessings that you give us, the prayers that are answered. Father, we thank you for that home in heaven, how sweet it will be when we're in a land that there's no arguing, no fighting, no politics, no hatred. Father, we just look forward to that day, and we thank you for preparing a place for us. Now, as his children, may we prepare our hearts this morning for worship, and may we open our ears and listen to the word that will be set out before us in a few minutes. Father, we thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Oh my, this is my favorite hymn. Thank you, Maxine. Okay, now it's a time of sharing of joys and concerns. Miss Wanda. Yes, it saddens all of us, because the first thing you think about when you think of Faye, you think of that little giggle and that beautiful smile. Anyone else? Danny?
My mom's doing well, but the doctor, because her numbers are up, wants her to start chemo again on the 18th of January. So please, let's just keep her in the prayers that she doesn't have any complications from it this time. And today makes 27 years sober for me.
Amen. Amen. Through God's power, that's quite an accomplishment. Okay, who else? Frank?
Debbie, we want to keep the Kay Huff family in our prayers, too. They lost a son. She was a classmate of Pat's, and they just lost a son. He was only 62 years old. I think that's how old he was. Anyhow, I'm sure that that's being very felt, very difficult in the family. And also, I want to thank the good Lord. We have Brother Sam and Sister Jackie in our presence this morning to bring us our message. He lives in the same development that we do, which is for old folks.
I resemble that a lot.
I'm referring to myself.
I'm older than you are.
We're close. Anyhow, we're blessed to have them with us, and we thank the good Lord that they've consented to come and bring the message to us this morning. And also, they conduct our Bible study every week. They host it in their home, and we are so blessed to be able to attend that and learn more and more about our Lord and Savior. So,
Judy?
I'd like to put Josie in our prayers.
And how's Nelson?
Nelson is doing good. He can see now again and everything. He just has to go back down in February, so see if it's working.
What a blessing. If anyone thinks about sending cards, send a card to Nelson. I'm sure he'll feel wonderful when he can read the card.
Right.
Because when you have a detached retina, it's a scary, scary thing. Yes, indeed. Bob?
One of my joys was our great-granddaughter, again, Myrtle Beach, was up with us for almost 2 weeks, not at our house every day, but in the area, but she did spend a fair amount of time, and what a joy she brings to our house. It's kind of dead when she leaves. We just appreciate the moments we get together. And then,
yes, indeed.
Like Frank said, we're grateful for Brother Sam and Jackie being with us and their cooperation to be able to put together a ministry in these times, and we're just grateful for that. Then next week, Dylan Reinhart from Piney Creek will be with us here for the service. But also, I'd like to remember our nation in these times of distress. And the leadership right now and the leadership to come. No, I don't think you're done seeing all the results on the election votes and stuff, because there's many things wrong with the machines that you're just not hearing about yet. But anyhow, may God look into that and handle it in His time. We just thank you for the privilege of being here and having service today and having you up there in front of porches leading for us.
I'm just going to put my prayer list on here because there's way too many to mention. But and one in particular I was thinking about this week. If you have time, send Ronnie Zimmerman a little note telling her you're thinking of her. I'm not sure how she's progressing in her treatments or whatever, but and Dylan, Dustin, send him a little note of encouragement. Just keep them in your prayers. And also, always remember Caleb and Elijah and those that are in our armed forces. Anyone else?
Hey, Deb and Larry and Michelle.
Yes.
Yes. Hear their name, and we don't want to forget them.
Right. Well, Larry and Michelle's one on my list, but yes. Larry and Michelle.
Oh, Debbie, I want to express our appreciation to our guests. We have some guests with us this morning.
Yes.
Thankful to have them, and we welcome back anytime.
Yes. Like I said, we're all family.
Yes.
You know what? If only people would realize we came from the same family tree. Last time I checked, it was only Noah and his family got off that boat and produced life again. So why do we have so much hate when really deep down it may be a hundredth of a sixteenth of in the blood, but we're still family. We're still God's children. So I haven't figured that out yet, but oh well. Okay, if there are no other joys or concerns, let us humbly go before the Lord in prayer, however is suitable for you, whether you bow or whether you kneel, however. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, what a sweet ring that name has. To know that you are our Father, that we are your children, and how much you love us. Father, we couldn't ask for more, but you still go ahead and you shower us with blessings. You answer our prayers, maybe not always in the way that we think they should be answered, but in the way that your will is for that prayer, Father, and we just thank you for that. Father, you've heard the list, the names of many. There's Miss Faye and her family as she has gone home to be with you. Give them comfort. May the memories flood their souls that brings them back joy of sweet times with Mom. Father, we think of Danny's mom who has fought the fight and you still continue to have your healing hand upon her. Be with her as she starts the round of treatments again, Father. Lift her up. And we think of the celebration of Danny. How sweet. Thank you, Father. Father, we think of Kay Huff family that have lost a son. We ask that you be with that family. Give them comfort. We think of those in our armed forces that protect this country. We think of the young men like Caleb and Elijah who enlisted just the other year, this past year. Father, we ask your hedge of protection around them. And may they be a shining light for you, Father, in the line of so many people that they'll come in contact with. Father, we think of not only our military, we think of our police officers. We think of our frontline servers like the firemen, the ambulance. The list goes on and on, Father. Protect them. Guide them. Father, we want to lift up Josie, one of our young members. She's in her last year of high school. She has many things facing her, many decisions, Father, and we just ask that you would provide her with wisdom and put your arms around her and let her know that she's not alone. Father, we think of Nelson and his healing of his eye. We give you the praise and the glory for that healing. Father, we lift up our nation and our leaders, Father. Father, we know that it will be your will be done. And we just ask that you would work upon the hearts and the minds of those in charge. May they fall down on bended knee and realize that you are the King, the true God, the one with the power, not them. And let them turn their thoughts back to what they were put in office for, and that's to serve the people, not to serve themselves, Father. Father, we think of Larry and Michelle. I'm sure the days have been long. But Father, you continue to be with them. Bless them. Lift up Michelle as she is a caregiver, and it is so draining, both emotionally and physically. So Father, we just ask that you bless that family and preside over them and keep your hand upon them. Father, we just want to lift up my prayer list. It's so long. You know each and every name that's on there, each and every need, each and every sorrow, Father. So I just lift my prayer list up to you this morning. Father, now I ask that you be with Brother Sam as he comes before us this morning and gives the message. May the words flow freely, and may you continue to bless both he and his good wife, Jackie, with their ministry and their outreach into the community, Father. Father, now we will unite our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. And now, another hymn. We'll have another hymn.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
And all God's people said,
amen.
If it weren't for that kind of love, where would we be? And I forgot a joy. Our niece, our great niece, Adrian, had a little baby girl on Friday evening. Well, not so little, 10 pounds and 3 ounces. So we welcome Elliot Elizabeth to the Eiler family. So that was a joy. Okay, today's scripture comes from Joshua 1:8, and the sermon title is Assurances from the Word of God. And Brother Sam will be bringing forth the message, and I want to thank you for a short scripture here for me. Thank you. Bob and I are always doing a race because we see who Pastor Tracy likes the best. Whoever gets the longest message is on the naughty list, so thank you. You know, I believe God believes in a little humor. He does. Yeah. Because what do they say? Laughter is the best medicine. And biologically, when you laugh, there's endorphins that release in your body that do good things. So I believe God believes in a little bit of humor. Okay, now on the serious side. Joshua 1:8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And let's remember that this is His word. Thank you. Okay, Brother Sam, I'm going to let you take over. I told you I'd give you a drum roll.
Thank you, Debbie. It's a joy and privilege to be here with you folks in the fellowship with those of like precious faith. I'd like to welcome George and Irene Benoit. They were part of our church in Frederick when we were there. They live over at White Rock near Yellow Springs. And so they're here today, and thank the Lord for them. And I want to thank Frank and Pat Free. Brother Frank offered to bring us over, so he chauffeured us over today. He wanted to make sure we could find the church. Well, my identification in Rocky Ridge is the park over here. First Sunday of July, the Mars reunion for years and generations of years. So we're used to that, and it's good to be here today. And Debbie talking about the family of God. We found out that Maxine and I are closer cousins than we thought we were in the family, the earthly family. So it's great to be here to fellowship. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. Thank you for this church and these folks that love you and love your word. We pray you will be glorified in all we do. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law. My first point this morning is recognition of what the Word of God is. What is the Bible? It is not just an average book. Joshua 1:8 was spoken by the Lord Himself to Joshua right after the death of Moses. When you think about, as a pastor, following a previous minister, can you imagine following Moses? And they say, well, Moses did it this way. And here's poor Joshua, 40 years in the wilderness. They got the Jordan River. Jericho is walled to the highest heavens. And we're going to go over there. And he's thinking, now, what are we going to do? God says, this book of the law. That means in 1400 B.C., God was pointing to a particular object. Today we would call it the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So there was a book written by Moses and referring to the Bible. In Deuteronomy 31, it said, it came to pass that Moses made an end of writing all the words of this law in a book. Of course, we're so intelligent today, we realize that Moses grew up in Egypt, but he couldn't read or write. Hello? Bible says he wrote. So we believe that Moses was very educated. He wrote and wrote it in a book. But it goes on to say, until it was finished, he commanded the Levites to take the book of the law, it says, and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant for a witness against you. So when you do something wrong, you're going to say, the Bible says. And somebody's going to say, that's your opinion, not our opinion. The book says. And so we elevate the Bible because it is God's message to us. This was about 1400 BC. And they took the Bible, what they had written at that time, and put it between the Ark of the Covenant. What's important about the Ark of the Covenant, that's where God came down in his Shekinah glory. So we're saying God is near his book. Actually, what God has said, that's the book I wrote. Do you ever talk to someone who's written a book, the author of a book, and you want to debate about it? You say, wait a minute, I wrote the book. Who wrote the Bible? God wrote the Bible and told Joshua that book right there. We're going to talk about some other things in just a little bit. But eight times it says Moses wrote in a book. And then 25 times it refers to the book of the law. This was about 1400 BC. What's interesting, in Nehemiah 13:1, and I'm just giving you figures here. Nehemiah 13:1, it says, on that day they read the book of Moses in the audience of the people, what was written therein. The interesting thing was Nehemiah was about 443 B.C. So God told Joshua, put that book beside the Ark of the Covenant. And almost 1,000 years later, they still had the book. One of the reasons why the Jewish nation has lasted so long, they had a book. And they didn't abandon the book. I'll talk about that in just a little bit. We believe the Bible was written by inspiration of God. We believe that what we have here is not the word of man. People say, well, that's just what man's opinion. But the Bible says, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is truth. Is everything in the newspaper truth? Now, I have liberty to criticize the Friday Post because I used to work for them. And I still write for them. There might be something in there within the next week or so about making plans according to the will of God. I don't know why I'd say that, but just in case you happen to see something like that. You don't believe everything in the paper. The Bible says all men are liars. Now, I do believe that. That's one statement I do believe. But God's word is true. And Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are light. So the Bible is important. Now, what's our responsibility? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. What's happened in America? One advantage an old man like me has. And I'm getting old. In fact, I didn't realize how old I was. About a year ago, one of the elders in our church in Frederick made an announcement in Sunday school. When Debbie asked for announcements, one fellow got up and made an announcement in Sunday school. As of that week, and about a year ago, Pastor Bartz is one-third the age of America. I never thought about it that way. 81 times 3 gives you the age of America. That was last year's. So I'm an old man. And some of you that are in my generation, listen to me. When they start revising American history, it's not going to go well. Because we were there. We saw what it was. And so, it shall not depart. In my lifetime, the Bible has departed. in my lifetime, in my experience, it started in the 1940s in Frederick County. My dad was superintendent of a Sunday school in a congregation, in a denomination that would probably not be of our persuasion now. And he was superintendent of Sunday school. Always had Bible literature for Sunday school. The denomination said, you've got to use denomination literature. My dad said, I'm going to use the Bible. Denomination. Bible. And finally, they were able to outmaneuver my father. And I remember as a child when the minister got up and said, next quarter, we're going to be having denomination literature. My dad raised a hand. What will we be studying? Church history. We had been studying Bible. Now we're going to study church history. My dad said, when the Bible's gone, I'm gone. We left that denomination that the Marx family had been members of for 200 years going back to Germany. But we're not going to leave the Bible. So we took the Bible at Frederick County here, many churches, taking the Bible out of churches in the 1940s. 1960s, we took the Bible and prayer out of schools. What's happening? In the 80s, we're taking Bible out of society. 21st century, we're taking the Bible out of government. And look what we've got. What a mess we're in. Why? We've taken the Bible out. Along with that, and I didn't bring one along with me, but we're also taking the Constitution out. We set that aside. And it always is chaos. So when it says, do not let this depart from you, we're important that we keep the Bible. The word depart means to withdraw. What it means here, as Christians, we should talk about the Bible. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. It means we should talk about the Bible. Let me give you another illustration here. How many of you have grandchildren? See grandchildren? If I would ask you, do you have grandchildren? Would you say, well, that's a private matter. I don't want to talk about it. Oh, please tell me about your grandchildren. Hey, listen, I'll tell you about our three granddaughters, all three pregnant. One due in March, one due in April, one due in May with great-grandchildren. So you don't have to ask me. We talk about grandchildren. We talk about great-grandchildren. But when it comes to talking about the Bible, we get lockjaw. Now, I'm not talking about being in your face, but I'm just talking in a normal way. You talk about the things in the Bible. Examples, and today it seemed like the Bible is a normal part of your conversation. It isn't something you put on for Sunday. It's just part, you just talk about the Word of God. Talk about, we talk about concerns and prayer requests and how the Bible works in our hearts. In Deuteronomy it says, these words shall be in your heart. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You'll bind them as a sign on your hand and frontlets between your eyes. You'll write them on the posts of your doors, on your gates. So we talk about the Bible all the time. Now, the advantage some of us had growing up on a farm, I spent more time with my father. Parents, farmers work together. I realized a lot of people get up, they go to work. Our work was where we lived. So the minister would say something on Sunday, and then during the week, around the barn, Dad, what did he mean by? I remember one time, the minister talked about Abraham offering Isaac. Remember God said, go to the mountain, offer Isaac? And I asked my dad, would you do that? He said, yes. Scared me half to death. Because Isaac got on that altar, didn't he? Man, that was close. But I learned the minister on Sunday, my dad talked about it, lived about it during the week. And I had this philosophy with my children when they were growing up. If they're old enough to ask a question, they're old enough get an answer. I've never, ever said to any of my children, you're too young to discuss that. Because I figured this, if they're old enough to ask a question, somebody is going to answer it. And I'd rather be the one to give them the truth. So it means we talk about the Bible. We're able to tell people about it. Then it says, you shall meditate therein day and night. That means think about it. It means study the Bible. It also means if you're going to study something, you've got to read it. I have some reading schedules and a challenge to read your Bible through in a year. Starting Genesis 1:1 and January 1. If you're reading through your Bible in a year, you're probably up to Jacob already. So I'm going to challenge you, read your Bible through in a year. I started doing that. A challenge was given New Year's Eve, People's Baptist Church, where I was a member, December 31, 1961. So January 1, 62, I began reading. I'm up to date today. I forget how many years that is. Now, I do something different than you do. I read a different version every year. Last year, I read the 1560 Geneva Bible. It was a little slower reading. The words were spelled a little different. But I'm going to put these right here, and when I'm finished, I'll make them available to you. Read your Bible. What I do, I get up in the morning, take a walk, go by houses, including Frank and Pat. Come home, get a cup of tea, and I'll read this first. I can't believe how many people in the morning at 6:15 have the TV on. The only, I will admit, I turn my computer on sometimes for a weather forecast. If it's a thunder, I might not go quite as far. But otherwise, I want to hear from God before I hear from man. And so we meditate on the word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates. That word meditate has the idea to think over and over. Let me tell you this. You may think reading the Bible through the year can get dull. Can you believe how exciting it was to read the Bible last year with all that's going on? With COVID and the riots? And I'm reading about Saul chasing David, and we're here with the chasing Trump. And I thought, wait a minute. And then in December, these people are talking about climate change. Do you know how much this climate is going to change? If you read the book of Revelation, you think it's hot now. You haven't seen anything yet. And so every time I read the Bible through, there are current events that change. Even this morning I was reading about Jacob. It seemed like everybody's against Jacob. His father-in-law is against him. His brother's against him. His neighbors are against him. It sounds like some people today. Everybody's against me. So the Bible is good. It's good to read it and meditate on it. Psalm 63:6. I remember you upon my bed and meditate you in the night watches. So what I like to do with my sermons is get my sermon ready early in the morning, in the week. By Tuesday evening, I'm pretty well ready for Sunday. And then I live it and walk it the rest of the week. So when I get up and open up and say, this works, I know it does because I've been doing it. I'm trying to live by it. I'm not perfect by any means. I'm not the only one walking. Sometimes there are other people in the community walking with me. But I've discovered something. Most of the people, when they see me walking Sunday morning, they don't even say hello. They say his mind's somewhere in that sermon. Let him go. He's deep some Bible verse he's thinking about. I forgot. I didn't even see him. I was thinking about what I was going to say. So the Word of God becomes part of us. It's like eating and enjoying things together. Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your words. I muse on the words of your hand. So there are plenty of Bible verses. I think, I wonder what that means. And in my case, I find out what the Hebrew word is, what the Greek word is, what the English word is. But how does that fit what I'm doing? The Bible is relevant. The Bible is up to date. In fact, the Bible is accurate in history. The Bible is good to live by. And the Bible tells us what's happening. If you read some of the prophecy in the Bible, what's happening today fits the Bible prophecy. In the last days, there'll be lawlessness. In the last days, men's heart will be fear. There are people that are afraid to go out of their house. My philosophy is this. The more you believe God, the less you believe government. If you don't believe God, you believe government. I'd rather believe God. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we're to meditate day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. That you may observe. Follow directions. Follow what the Bible says. This is how husbands live. This is how wives live. This is how you train children. We train our children according to the Word of God. I've watched my children raise their children. And now I never thought I'd live to see this. I'm watching my grandchildren raise their children. It's to look at Becca, I think, she's got two and one more to come. And she was going to be a sports player, and her she's a mother with three. But she wants to make sure that Elijah Jane and Reuben and whoever the next one's going to be is taught the Word of God. And so we observe what goes on there. It tells us in Psalm 107, whoever is wise and will observe these things shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And there are numerous times I look in the Bible and say, Lord, what should my attitude be? You know that I'm tempted sometimes to say, I like to wring somebody's neck. Do you ever hear a preacher say that? We don't. But Lord, help me have the right attitude. And there was one person I thought, that guy bugs me. You know what made him bug me less? Pray for him. Because I thought, that guy's got problems I don't have. He just needs the Lord. He doesn't need me to tell him off. He just needs the Lord to work in his heart. So we do that. Proverbs 23 says, my son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. So we want to preach the Bible, but then we want to obey what it says. So what's the result? So what if I do this? What if I do this? We want to follow what the Bible says. Follow directions. Is that difficult? Recently, last couple of months, our garage door got a bad habit. It began to open, and no one was around. Door just comes up. And nobody's pressing anything. And recently, I was bringing some things into the garage, and it started coming down while I was working. Almost hit me. So when the house was, Jack, why'd you hit the door? I hit the door. So the garage door's coming up, coming down. At all times, in the evening, neighbor called me and said, Sam, your door just went up. So what do? You get the owner's manual. And the owner's manual has some instructions. And so there's a way you set the black button to set codes. It says, if you want to remove unwanted codes, hit the purple button. So I had some neighbors in, and I explained the problem. And I said, and I even showed them the manual says, hit the purple button. And my neighbor said, no, don't do that. Never touch. It went on for a while. They come on and they fumbled this and they fumbled that. And then next day, door up, door down. You know what I did? I said, the manual says, push the purple button till the light comes on. You know what I did? I pushed that purple button till the light came on. Guess what doesn't happen? The door doesn't come up and down on its own. What? Can you believe that? You actually follow instructions, and it solved the problem. But I did have a second problem. I couldn't get my code back in that I wanted it. But God has given me a son-in-law who's mechanical, and he pressed this and that, and so everything's working fine. But why don't we follow the Bible? Why don't we do what the Bible says? The Bible gives us instruction, and we know better, but it's not turning out. So what are the results of it? It says, if you do this, then your way shall be prosperous. Oh, boy. Prosperous. So you believe the Bible. You go to your boss tomorrow morning. You say, boss, I was in church yesterday, and the preacher said, believe the Bible. So I believe the Bible. Can I get a raise? Maybe that's not the kind of prosperity. See, we think prosperity is money. I would say this about my parents. My parents were prosperous. Not in the bank of earth, but in the bank of heaven. Wouldn't you rather have the bank of heaven? You don't have to worry about Dow Jones. You don't have to worry about whether there's going to be a stock market crash. And so my parents had their prosperity was walking with the Lord. Having that peace of mind. Isn't it sad? Some people have all the money in the world and all the problems of the world. Now, I'm not in the poorhouse exactly. Most of us said we were growing up, we were poor. Well, we didn't know it. Because everybody else was the same thing. But we had food. We raised on a farm. When everything was scarce, the hogs were getting fatter. We're going to have pork. The beef is doing fine. We got enough chicken to get through the winter. And so we grew up with enough to live and maybe didn't have a lot of things that the world would call success. What is success? It's knowing that you're doing what God would have you do. There's an interesting verse over in 2 Chronicles 26, 5 about King Uzziah. It's an interesting verse. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosperous. But the rest of us said, when he got proud, he got in trouble. Whatever you have, it's been given by God. Now, I agree with Debbie that we all came from the same source. And we all started out with the same amount. Zero. We brought nothing in. We're taking nothing out. Rich man died one time and they said, how much did he leave? The answer was, all of it. So we have inheritance in heaven that's not in the bank of earth, but in the bank of heaven. David said this to Solomon, the Lord be with you and prosper you and give you wisdom and understanding that you may keep the law of the Lord, your God. What's a wise person? Keeping the word. When we were in high school, coming from Lewistown Elementary and the country, and then combined in Frederick High School, we had some city kids. And we weren't wise to the ways of Frederick and how to get away with stuff. And we had one kid that was a juvenile delinquent. And he showed us how to steal a bicycle. It brought open daylight. Just skip class. He said, watch me. And I can still see him stole a bicycle in the front of the school, waving going down the street. But he never turned out successful in life. So the world has one way of doing things, but the Bible gives us a different way. To give you understanding, keep the law. Then you shall prosper. If you take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. When our daughter and son-in-law have three daughters. They're the three that are pregnant. The youngest was married a couple of years ago. And Mark has been in the pastor, 20-some years, I guess. Maybe a church this size. And he thought, 20-some years. And just these people. I said, Mark, you raised Sarah, Becca, Christy. All of them married Christians. Now they're having children. I said, Mark, maybe you didn't grow a great church, but you raised great daughters. You raised a great family. I have a friend of mine, pastor of a mega church in Maryland. His kids have no regard for the Lord. If you don't mind, I'll stick with my family. My daughter married a preacher. My son's a service leader. By Zoom and all, because of a virus and so forth. But wealth is not how much money you have in a bank. But I think I'm a rich person because I have a family walking with the Lord. And that's what David told Solomon. Then you will have good success. That word success means to do wisely. I'm not going to give any personal illustrations. But do we all do dumb things sometimes? Or am I the only one? And one part advantage of getting older, we don't have a good memory. So maybe I've forgotten some of the dumb things I've done. But there are things like, was I that dumb? That long? So this word means to do wisely. Now, in building and construction, you can see some stupid things. Recently, my son-in-law, who's a pastor, not a big church, he does a lot of maintenance work. He's skilled. He can fix garage doors. He does construction. So there was a town nearby, and somebody had a roof put on, had the new roof put on the house, but it was leaking around the chimney. Put a new roof on, it's leaking. So they asked Mark to solve this leaking problem. It's high, so with my daughter's urging or threat, he did build a scaffold rather than a ladder. He gets up there and found out they put these new shingles on, but never changed the flashing. The flashing was old and rusty. Now what happens when you put shingles on flashing around the chimney that has holes in it? It's going to leak. So he had to go up there and take back these brand new shingles, try not to break them, but that's not easy to do. Do all that work, spend that time, go down there, see what it is, go to the store, get flashing. When it would have been wiser to do what? Before the people put the shingle on, to do what? Just put flashing around. What? It wouldn't take him 10 minutes. It took him 2 days. And then after that, telling me that, they went to a cabin out in western Pennsylvania, and they wanted to show us the cabin. So we went out there, brand new cabin. And it's out in the country. So it's a big pole coming up through the roof where the power line comes in. And the pole is in the roof with shingles. And what should you have around that? A sleeve. You know what they had? Masking tape. You tell me masking tape is going to do it? Now, if they're going to do it, they got to take the power line down. They got to go up there, print all the roof. What I'm saying is, we do a lot of foolish things. When the Bible says, do it this way. And I don't know what people are doing today thinking they're going to get away with it when God knows everything. 1 Samuel 18:30 said, David behaved more wisely than the servants of Saul. Same word. So then thou shalt have wise decisions. Do things that are wise. Daniel 12 says, they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. May God help us to follow the Bible. This is God's instruction book. This tells us how to live. And God's word is true today. I trust you'll be reading it and believing it and following it. And I'll make these available after church today. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks for your word. Thank you. It was written years ago, but it's so relevant. It's so accurate. It works so well. May we do your will, follow your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And we're going to have a hymn and a benediction.
Okay, we're going to have two videos. The first one is by Fanny Crosby, wrote Blessed Assurance, and we're going to play that second. But this is a short video about her history, and I thought it would be interesting to know. So it's about 3 minutes long before the last hymn. So.
In 1820, a woman by the name of Fanny Crosby was born. She was an American poet and hymn writer who was so prolific over the course of her life that it's believed she wrote over 8,000 hymns. Her vision for writing was beautiful, and the clear picture of the gospel of Jesus was astounding. The way she looked at life was apparent in her writing, and the way she lived for Jesus will continue to impact people for generations. Fanny Crosby was blind from infancy. She was blinded by a failed remedy meant to cure an eye infection. One tragedy gave way to another, as shortly after her accident, Fanny's father became ill and died. Fanny's mother hired a maid, and her grandmother Eunice taught Fanny to pray and read Bible stories to her. The Crosby family's landlady, Mrs. Holly, also played an important role in young Fanny's life. Mrs. Holly helped Fanny memorize the Bible, and it said that she learned 5 chapters per week and had entire books committed to memory. In 1834, Fanny continued her education at the New York Institute for the Blind, where she later served as a teacher for 23 years. On March 5, 1858, Fanny married a fellow teaching professor and famous New York organist named Alexander Van Alstyne. After she married, Fanny left the Institute and dedicated her life to serving the poorest and the most needy, and supported herself with a vocation of writing hymns. She had an agreement with the publishers Bigelow and Maine to write 3 hymns a week for use in their Sunday school publications. Her fee was $2, which often went to her work with the poor. Fanny would frequently surpass her quota by writing up to 6 or 7 hymns a day. Today, Fanny's hymns are still popular, including Blessed Assurance and To God Be the Glory. Although Fanny enjoyed success as a writer later in life, it was not always so. In 1874, Fanny was so broke she could not pay her rent and faced an imminent eviction notice. As was common, Fanny began to pray and committed her situation to Jesus. A few minutes later, an unknown man approached her and handed her a $10 bill, the exact amount of money she needed for her rent. Later that night, Fanny wrote, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me," a hymn of dependence on God to provide for our needs. As both a songwriter and a woman of faith, Fanny Crosby is an example to us all of a life lived in dependence and faith in Jesus, despite adversity and disability. It's easy to consider her situation tragic and pity her, but this is not how Fanny saw it. Once a preacher asked her if she was upset that she had never been able to see. Her answer was simply, no. And when asked why, she replied, "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior."
Thank you.
all stand, please. Father, when we think about Fanny Crosby, she could have blessed assurance with all her problems. What's the trouble with us? We thank you for the history here, and I've seen it so well presented in this video, and we know we have a blessed assurance in all of our difficulties. Blessed assurance is just as real today as when Fanny Crosby experienced the erosion. May we live for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'll put some of these in the back if you'd like to get your final reading sketches.